Please open your Bibles to Mark chapter 6. And we want to continue studying this wonderful account of the life of Jesus, verse after verse. This is going to be one of those sermons, folks, that's a little bit unusual. I really argued with the Lord when I was planning through this section of Scripture, and I almost didn't preach on this because it'd be easy to skip over and go to the next big event, which is the feeding of the 5,000. But the Lord just laid upon my heart the need to stop in this little tiny section and bring out this great truth that's in there. Now let me go ahead and tell you that I'm going to be telling you about the importance of taking some time off, resting, relaxation, a vacation, whatever you want to call it. And after the first service, there were several people that said, that's one of the sermons I'm really going to enjoy following the advice of. There are some people you need to follow their example. One of my favorite Calvin Coolidge stories is about the time he was hosting a great dinner at the White House. And there was a long line of formal diners at this important dinner. Dinner had been served and everyone was being so careful to observe the correct manner. They didn't want to commit any kind of breach of etiquette. And after the meal, they were served hot coffee. And everyone was surprised at what the president did. He committed a faux pas. He took his saucer and poured his coffee into his saucer and took a little sugar and cream and mixed it all together and then began to blow on it. And you know, at that time, I guess they thought only Hicks did something like that, but because the president was doing it, right down the line, everybody started doing the same thing, pouring their coffee into their saucer, blowing it cool. Then to their surprise and dismay, Calvin Coolidge bent down and put the saucer on the floor for his pet cat. It's not always good to do what you see everybody else doing, but today there is one instant where you do need to do what Jesus did. Follow his example. Look with me here in Mark chapter 6, beginning in verse 30. Mark 6:30. The apostles gathered around Jesus and reported to him all that they had done and taught. Then because so many people were coming and going that they did not even have a chance to eat, he said to them, and here's the whole focus of the message. Come with me by yourselves to a quiet place and get some rest. Now let me just stop and say there are some of you that are struggling and hurting and under stress and strain right now. And the solution for you is nothing stronger or nothing else than just that advice of Jesus right there. Just get alone, get some rest, get with Jesus. Keep reading verse 32. So they went away by themselves in a boat to a solitary place. I wish I could stop there because that would make for a good sermon, but that's not life. Verse 33. But many of the people who saw them leaving recognized them and ran on foot from all the towns and got there ahead of them. So when Jesus landed and saw a great large crowd, he had compassion on them because they were like sheep without a shepherd. So he began teaching them many things. Dr. Edwin Roberts was once the president of Princeton Seminary. And he heard his pastor say from the pulpit one Sunday, "I never take a vacation because the devil never takes a vacation." And that sounded good. But Dr. Roberts went to his pastor and opened his Bible and said, "Pastor, I heard what you said. And I want you to see that in the Scriptures, during the 3 years of Jesus' ministry, there are 10 times in 3 years when he took time to get away and to get alone, either between him and his Father or him and the disciples." He said, "The devil may never take a vacation, but Jesus did. Whose example are you going to follow?" Now there's something I notice about the life of Jesus as I read the New Testament. He came to do the most important job that anyone on earth has ever done. Much more important than what I do. And let's face it, much more important than what any of you do. But I notice something about Jesus. He never got in a hurry. I never see Jesus running. I never see Jesus late. But yet I see Jesus several times in the Scriptures trying to get away to be alone with the disciples, to rest, to be refreshed, and to relax. So we need to follow his example. I want to talk to you about that. And if you have your outline in the bulletin, I want to share three thoughts with you today. The first thought is concerning exhaustion. Exhaustion. And I'm calling this the harmful problem. The harmful problem. Look at your Bible again. Verse 31 of Mark 6 says, because so many people were coming and going, they did not even have a chance to eat. Have you ever allowed your life to digress to the point that you stay so busy that you don't have time to do the necessary things of life? It seems like you're going so many hours a day and you don't have time to rest, you don't have time to eat, you don't have time to relax. Well, that happened to Jesus and the disciples. It may be you need to do what they did. Take a vacation. A number of years ago, there was a commercial by United Airlines. You remember that one that says, I need a vacation. And how many of you have ever said that? Well, let me tell you when you need a vacation. There's several times when you know you need a vacation desperately. Number one, when you are physically depleted, you need a vacation. Why did these people need a vacation? Let's remember the past few messages that we've been talking about Jesus. He had sent the disciples out on a mission trip two by two. They had gone into every village preaching, teaching, healing people, casting out demons, and they were just physically tired. Jesus himself was tired because he had been going from village to village to village, and the people were mobbing around him. He didn't have time for himself, so he was just physically depleted. And that happens to us. It happened to the Lord Jesus Christ. I mean, sometimes we forget that he was 100% human as well as being 100% divine. Why, when the disciples came to Sychar, the well of Jacob, Jesus said, you guys going into town, I'm going to stay out here and rest. He was tired. We read earlier where when they got on board a ship, even in the midst of a storm, Jesus was so exhausted that he put his head down and he slept in the midst of a storm. He got tired. And so he was physically depleted. And that happens to us today. I tell you about the only way we have changed in our society from 100 years ago is that we're doing everything faster and we're doing it louder. We have all of these time-saving devices, but are we really having more time? Let me just do a little survey here, unofficial survey. Computers are supposed to help us save time. How many of you use or have a computer? Let me see your hand. That's most of the people here. Microwave ovens are designed to help us save time. How many of you have a microwave? Let me see your hand. Most people, yeah. How many of you have a beeper or a pager to save time? Okay, a few of you. How many of you have a cellular phone to save time? Some of you. How many of you have more time? Something's wrong. We got all these technological devices to help us save time, but we're not saving time. I shared some time ago with the men at their Tyler Businessman's Luncheon a little thing I read. Ours is the age of the half-read page, the quick hash, the mad dash, the bright lights, the nerve tights, the plane hop for a short stop, the lamp tan in a short span, the heart pain, the brain strain, and the cat naps until the spring snaps and then the fun's done. Isn't that descriptive of our age today? We go so fast, and where are we going when we've gotten there? And it's so easy to become physically depleted, to just wear yourself down physically. There's another time that you need a vacation, not only when you're physically depleted, but number two, when you are spiritually drained. Spiritually drained. Now, some of you have jobs that are not all that physically demanding. But you give yourself away, and it's like your emotional energy flows out of you. Do you remember where we read a few weeks ago where the woman came up in the crowd and touched the hem of Jesus' garment? And the Bible says Jesus felt virtue, goodness, go out of him. That can happen to you. Anytime you minister to somebody or serve somebody or help somebody, it takes something out of you that's not necessarily physical. There are some of you who have been called upon to sit in a hospital room beside a loved one. And that's not physically demanding, is it? But after you sit in a hospital room for 8 hours, you're more tired than if you had put in 12 hours of physical labor. It just drains you emotionally. The same happens for those of you who serve the Lord. You can sing in a choir, teach Sunday school, do a lot of good works, and it can drain you spiritually. Why, just this week, We have over 100 members of our church who are involved in the Judgment House, which is an evangelistic drama. Those folks were up there past midnight last night, and they're going to be working for the next week or so. And I just want to warn all of you who are working there, be very careful or you'll get drained. The disciples had just come back from a mission trip and they were drained. Any of you who've ever been on mission trips to the Ukraine or to Belize or Mexico, you know that you come back just feeling drained. Something comes out of you. And that can happen, and you've got to be careful. The third time you need a vacation, when you're physically depleted, you're spiritually drained. And number three, when you are emotionally depressed. Emotionally depressed. Do you remember what I preached on last Sunday? That's probably asking too much, but do you remember we talked last Sunday about how John the Baptist was beheaded? Matthew's gospel tells us that the disciples of John went and took his body and buried it. Then it says they went and told Jesus at this very point. And so here's the scene. The disciples have just come back from this mission trip. And all of a sudden they receive the bad news. John has been executed. You've got to remember, some of the 12 disciples of Jesus were originally disciples of John the Baptist. And Jesus and John were very close. Elizabeth was related to Mary, the mother of Jesus. And they had no doubt grown up together. They knew each other. And so they had gotten the devastating news that John was dead. Has that ever happened to you? Things are going along pretty smooth and you get a phone call or a letter, and it's like a punch in the stomach, and it just takes the air out of you. And suddenly, you find yourself emotionally depressed. Just about 3 weeks ago, Cindy and I went back to Alabama to participate in the funeral of one of our closest friends, a lady 50 years old who died of cancer, been fighting it for 2 years. In the last 7 months, her husband has had to care for her almost daily, sitting there with her in the hospital. And after the funeral was over, we went over to Harvey's house, and he just said, "I just don't have anything left." He was just so depressed, and we just talked for a while, and he decided that he was going to go off, and he was just going to get away for a while and go on a vacation, and that's the very best thing he could do, just to get away for a while. Because when you are physically depleted, when you're emotionally drained, and when you're spiritually drained and emotionally depressed, that's when you need to get away. Because, dear friend, you have limitations. And you can get to the breaking point. You see, our personality, our life, is like a spring. And when we work, we wind that spring up. And when we rest, the spring unwinds. And the biggest problem in America today is men and women who wind it, wind it, wind it, wind it, and it keeps getting tighter and tighter and tighter. And your times of rest are less and less and less, until the spring runs all the way to its limit, and then something happens that we call a breakdown, a burnout, or a blow up. You have limitations. Now, you know, the problem in America today is we admire people who kill themselves working. They're our heroes. You know that I'm a Dallas Cowboys fan, through and through. I was reading an excerpt a couple of weeks ago from Jimmy Johnson's new book, Turning the Thing Around. Without a doubt, he's a great football coach. But we tend to look at men who follow his lifestyle and admire them. Did you know that when he was first hired as Cowboys coach, he spent the first 3 weeks and only left the Dallas Cowboys complex twice to go out and eat? He ate his meals at the complex, slept there, put all of his time in there. When he was told that in the past, some of the Cowboys coaches had had dinner with their families, he laughed. And when asked, "Will your coaching staff ever have dinner with their families?" he said, "Are you kidding?" Now here's a guy that devotes his entire life to winning football games, and we all like that like the Dallas Cowboys, but we've got to answer this more important question: what kind of price is he paying? And I don't know his relationship with the Lord. I pray that he's a Christian. I don't know. Only God knows that, and he knows that. But we look at somebody like that who almost kills themselves working, and we admire them. I want to tell you, my model, I want it to be Jesus Christ, not Jimmy Johnson. Amen? And we see Jimmy Johnson killing himself working, and we see Jesus trying to take time to get away and rest. I heard about a businessman who went to see his doctor because he was suffering with an ulcer. And finally, the doctor examined him and said, "Your problem is you're burning the candle at both ends." And the businessman said, "I didn't come for a lecture. I just came for more wax." That's pretty typical. Someone else has said you're no brighter when you burn the candle at both ends. And that's exactly true. And so the first thing we see is the problem. The problem of exhaustion. But the second thing we see is what I'm calling the principle of relaxation. And it is the helpful proposal. The helpful proposal. This is the proposal that Jesus makes. And look at it in your Bible again. Verse 31. Jesus said, "Come with me by yourselves to a quiet place and get some rest." He said, "Guys, let's get away from here. Let's go take a vacation. Let's rest." And in that little sentence that Jesus gives, I think we see four elements of an ideal vacation. Number one, in an ideal vacation, you need to go with Jesus. Go with Jesus. Notice he said, "Come with me." Now, the problem a lot of people make is that when they go off on vacation, they leave the Lord Jesus. Now, you really can't leave him, but what I mean is they don't acknowledge him on vacation. I mean, here are people who, when they're at home, they're faithful to attend church, faithful to read their Bible, but they go off on vacation and they do things that they never would do at home. They use a certain vocabulary they never would use at home because they think, "Hey, I'm on vacation. I can do anything I want to." Well, folks, you can't leave the Lord Jesus Christ. And the very best vacation you can have is when you take him with you. When you leave Jesus at home on your vacation, you're leaving the very source of rest itself. Because Jesus said in Matthew 11:29, "Come unto me, all you who labor and are heavy laden." Does that describe your life, your laboring and your heavy laden? He said, "And I will give you rest." First thing, go with Jesus. Number two, go with those you love. Go with those you love. Because he said, "All right, let's all go together." Jesus and the disciples were going to go together. Now, I think it's very important to make the most of family vacations. Go with those you love. Go with friends. Go with family members. I heard about a couple. In fact, I knew this couple that always took separate vacations. I never understood it. I thought it was a little strange. Finally, they took a permanent separate vacation from each other because they just didn't like being together. I think vacations are a wonderful time to be with your family, with those you love. My dad and mother worked hard all of their lives, and we went on a few vacations to visit relatives. And I can remember my dad and mom saving money because when they retired, they were going to travel together. Only problem is both of them died in their 50s and they never lived to retirement. I can remember sitting in the hospital room with my dad in Mobile, Alabama, and him knowing and I'm knowing that he's not going to live very much longer. And he says to me, "David, don't make the mistake I've made." He said, "Spend your money on your family making memories now. Make some memories with your family. Travel with them. Spend some time with them. Quality time. Because that's so very important." So go with those you love. Number three, go away. Just go away somewhere. The word vacation comes from the word to vacate, to leave. Jesus said, "Let's don't stay here. Let's go to a deserted place." Now, for you, it may be the lake. For you, it may be the mountains. It may be the beach. It may be the pond. It may be the deer lease, wherever it is. It's just some place you go to get away. That's why the best vacation is not a vacation where you just stay at home and paint a bedroom or something. You need to go away and get away so you can get a new perspective on things. And then finally, number four, go to renew your strength. Go to renew your strength. You see, a vacation is not permanent. A vacation would be a terrible lifestyle to live all the time. Now, I know some of you would think, "Well, you know, I just wish I could be on vacation all my life." Folks, that'd be like eating ice cream every meal. You get tired of it. You go on a vacation to gain your strength to go back to work. You rest to work to rest to work. And that's the beautiful cycle, the rhythm that we see in the life of Jesus. And so that's the proposal he makes. Come away to a deserted place and let's rest a while. Now, if I were to give you a little test here, on a scale of 1 to 10, 10 being ideal, 1 being the absolute bottom of the pile, how are you at resting, relaxing, getting alone and listening to the Lord? Or would you have to say, you know, I worked so hard, it's been a long time since I've taken a vacation. It's been a long time since I've really sat down and relaxed. Well, folks, you can't live like that forever. Something is going to break. And I'm warning you because I love you in the Lord. I wish that was the end of the story. I wish we could stop the sermon right now and say Jesus and the disciples went to a great vacation, had a great time. But we come to the third thing, frustration. And I'm calling this the helpless people. The helpless people. Because look at what happened in verse 34. When Jesus landed, he saw a large crowd. And with compassion, he looked at them with compassion because they were like sheep without a shepherd. So the helpless people. Well, I don't go back up to Isaiah 40. I don't want you to miss that scripture. How to really find renewal. This is how you find it. Isaiah 40, 30. Even youths grow tired and weary, and young men stumble and fall, but those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. That's how you find your strength renewed. Hoping and waiting on the Lord. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not faint. Don't you need that kind of renewal and energy? Well, the problem is, Jesus landed, and here were all these people. Now, here's the scene. This blows my mind. Jesus said, come on, guys, we got to get away from this crowd. They get inside a boat, and they sail about 5 miles around the Sea of Galilee to another port. But the people on shore see them leaving, and this is what the mob does. They literally run, because that's about the only way they could have gotten there before Jesus and the disciples. They run around the lake, and they're right there when Jesus lands. Now, I want to ask you, what would you do if you really needed a vacation and you planned it for months, and then when you got there, your vacation got interrupted? I mean, you'd be frustrated, wouldn't you? You'd say, forget it, I'm not helping you. But not Jesus. We see how Jesus dealt with frustration, interruptions, and inconveniences. And folks, I've got good news for you today. You never interrupt the Lord Jesus Christ. Did you know that? He has such great compassion for you that when he sees you in need, he'll respond just like he did here. Now, he says they are like sheep without a shepherd. Isn't that interesting? When the Bible looks for an animal to which to compare us, the Bible most often uses sheep. Why? Let me give you two reasons. Number one, like lost sheep, we have to be led. Like lost sheep, we have to be led. The Bible says in Isaiah 53, all we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned everyone to our own way. I read an interesting book some time ago by Philip Keller entitled The Good Shepherd Looks at the 23rd Psalm. And he writes about sheep. Now, I don't know much about sheep. But in this book, he writes about how they are very dumb animals when it comes to a sense of direction. I'm told that a horse can find its way back to a barn, and a cow can find its way back to the milking stall. Even pigs have a good sense of direction, and your dog and your cat can probably find their way back home if they wander off in the neighborhood. But sheep have lousy senses of direction. There are even accounts of sheep just grazing, eating to the edge of a cliff and just falling off. Does that sound like you sometimes? You don't know where to go? You just feel like you need somebody to give you direction? Jesus is the good shepherd, and he cares for us. Look at this verse from Isaiah 40 again. He, that is God, tends his flock like a shepherd. He gathers the lambs in his arms and carries them close to his heart. He gently leads those who have young. Isn't that a beautiful promise? How in your greatest times of desperation, Jesus picks you up like a shepherd picks up a lamb and holds it to his bosom, and he holds you close and says, listen, I'll even carry you. In John chapter 10, Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice, and they know me. You want to know if Jesus is your good shepherd? Do you recognize his voice? In this book, Philip Keller says that back in the ancient days, they would put all the sheep for many flocks in one large sheepfold. And in the morning, different shepherds would walk in, and all the shepherd would have to do would be to call out. And those sheep, although they have a terrible sense of direction, would recognize the voice of their specific shepherd. And when that shepherd would call for the sheep, only those sheep that belonged to him would follow him out of that sheepfold, and the rest of the sheep would stay there. Isn't that amazing? Another shepherd would come up, and he would call out to the sheep, and those sheep would recognize his voice and follow them out. You see, the big question is, whose voice are you listening to today? I heard an interesting story about an American Indian not long ago who was walking down Wall Street in New York City. And this American Indian was walking down the most important financial boulevard in America, and he was walking with his friend and said, "Listen, I hear a cricket." The man says, "A cricket? I mean, listen to all the traffic and all the noise and everything. How in the world can you hear a cricket? I don't hear a cricket." And the Indian walked up to a potted plant that was there outside one of the buildings and reached in there. And when he pulled his finger out, there was a cricket on it. And he said, "How in the world could you hear that cricket in the midst of all this cacophony of sound?" And the American Indian said, "I'll show you." And the Indian reached in his pocket and grabbed a handful of change and tossed it up in the air. Clank, 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 clank. And everybody on the sidewalk immediately stopped and bent down to pick up the money. And the Indian says, "You hear what you're listening for." And most people are listening for the wrong voice, listening for the wrong thing. And Jesus said, "I'm the shepherd, and my sheep will hear my voice, and I will lead them." Number two, he says, like hungry sheep, we must be fed. Like hungry sheep, we must be fed. I'm also told that sheep must be led to pasture land. They're not smart enough to go and feed themselves. And that's what Jesus says to you. As a sheep, as a little lamb, I want to lead you and I want to feed you. Now, what's he feed us on? Well, this is the last part of the section of the passage. If you still have your Bible open, look at verse 34. When Jesus saw them, he had compassion on them because they were like sheep without a shepherd. So he began teaching them many things. This is your bread and butter. This is what God feeds you on, his blessed word. Now, let's go back to the whole overall point of this message. If you are exhausted, if you're working too hard, if you are carrying too heavy a burden, I encourage you to find some time to get away and listen to that still, small voice and let God speak to you. The Bible says in Psalms 103, verse 14, God says, "I know your frame, that you're dust." Now, most of you have heard that verse. What's it talking about? Well, you guys that work with pickup trucks, do you know what I mean when I say a half-ton frame, a three-quarter-ton frame, or a two-ton frame? You know what I'm talking about, guys, don't you? That means the frame of that truck is designed to only carry a certain amount of weight, and if you overload it, you're in trouble. This is what God says about you. I know your frame. God says, "I know how much you can carry." And the problem is, folks, God knows how much we can carry, but some of us don't. And God won't lay more on you than you can carry, but the problem is we lay more on ourselves than we can carry. And if you're here today and that spring is wound up tight and it's about to break, I want you to follow the example of the Lord Jesus Christ and come apart and rest a while, or you really will come apart. Let's pray. Lord, I really don't know why you laid this message on my heart unless there is somebody specific here today that is at a point of mental and physical and spiritual exhaustion. And I pray that they'll listen to the voice of your Holy Spirit telling them to rest and get quiet and get still before it's too late. Lord, we do want to be like you. And we want to follow your example of getting away from the maddening crowd at times and just communing with your Father. Teach us how important that is. Teach us how to listen to your voice. I pray in Jesus' name, amen.